This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Over the 40 years that The Book in the Spade has been on the air, which we will officially observe next February, we have devoted at least 65 of our more than 1,800 programs to the Dead Sea Scrolls, the major discovery of 20th century biblical archaeology. These 2,000-year-old scrolls opened up new understanding of the Bible and the biblical world. In the following documentary, produced in 1998 on the 50th anniversary of the scrolls' discovery, we included audio that predated our program, recorded by University of Wisconsin professor Menachem Mansour in the 1950s for a public radio series on the scrolls. We also have audio from our own interviews in this report on the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
It was midwinter 1947, to be precise, according to John Trevor, who was an American scholar at the Albright Institute in Jerusalem at the time. It took him several more decades to track down the true story of how it happened. Three Tumari Bedouin, who lived just east of Bethlehem, took their sheep to find water at Ein Feshka, along the shore of the Dead Sea.
Juma it was who had an idea that someday he was going to find gold in a cave. So he looked up the cliffs every chance he got to look for caves. And there was one that was very obvious from down where they were. He started up 150 feet up on the cliff. He looked to the right and he saw a large hole about 19 inches in diameter. It was above his head. He couldn't reach up to see into it. But down below, just at waist level, was a hole about 6 inches in diameter, as he told me when I interviewed him. He said it was just big enough for a cat to get in. So he picked up a rock and threw into it, and he heard a strange sound. Ah, there must be something important in there. So he called up the other two Bedouins, see if they could look in. So they put rocks down at the base, climbed up to look in, total darkness, because the sun had already gone down below the hills. And so they said, well, the only thing we can do is to come back 3 days later. We'll come back 3 days later, and they made a handshake agreement that they were going to explore that cave 3 days later. Muhammad Adib was the one who was so excited about exploring that cave that he couldn't sleep. So as soon as the sun began to come up across the Dead Sea, he left the camp and climbed up there, put some more rocks up, and he was able to look in. And so we have the story of the actual finding.
John Trevor was the first American to see and photograph the scrolls about a year later when some of them came into the possession of the Syrian Metropolitan Samuel. Trevor sent photographs to William Albright at Johns Hopkins University, the preeminent biblical scholar of the time, and he confirmed that they were authentic 2,000-year-old documents. But as Albright later told University of Wisconsin professor Menachem Mansour in a public radio documentary on the scrolls, there were still skeptics.
However, we now have all kinds of evidence quite outside of the content of these new scrolls which fixes their date. For instance, radiocarbon, this study of carbon isotope number 14, which was first discovered by Drs. Libby and Arnold in 1947 and 8, has yielded some extremely interesting data for fixing the chronology of the scrolls. At that time, the radiocarbon method had not been so refined as it is now. Recently, the Pittsburgh Laboratory for Radiocarbon Research has dated the Dead Sea Scrolls on the same basis, that of the linen wrappings in which they were wrapped in Cave 1, to between 250 BC and 50 AD. Since we have not only radiocarbon, but also the evidence of the script, which fits perfectly into just this period and into no other period, and since we also have the evidence of coins, which are dated in this period and no other period, and we also have evidence of pottery, which only belongs in this period and no other period, it stands to reason that no archaeologist and no scholar who regards archaeology as worth anything in the world can possibly reject the authenticity of the scrolls.
Eliezer Sukenik, a top Israeli archaeologist, also recognized the significance of these newly discovered scrolls, and as battle lines were being drawn for the War of Israeli Independence, Sukenik made his way to Bethlehem to purchase some of the scrolls for the new State of Israel. Negotiations were being handled by a Bethlehem shoemaker named Kondo. 7 years later, his son, Israeli archaeologist Yagel Yadin, was able to acquire the rest of those original Dead Sea Scrolls for the Israeli government.
Well, this is a very strange and dramatic story, if one may say so, especially for me, because, as it is known, the first three scrolls for the Israel have been acquired by my late father already as early as 1947. I didn't know that in very strange and dramatic circumstances it will be my task to finish the unfinished task begun by my father. I was in America in May 1954 for a tour of lectures and didn't dream that I'm going to deal with the scrolls. But then I learned that the scrolls were still in the hands of the Syrian Metropolitan. I was afraid to contact the Metropolitan directly, because I suspected that some, perhaps, of the authorities in Jordan might try to hinder this deal. Therefore, I decided to conduct the whole negotiation secretly without revealing my identity and not embarrassing the Metropolitan himself. Through a friend of mine, I started the negotiations, which lasted for about a fortnight. And when we came to the agreement about the price, which was $250,000, $250,000 for the whole four scrolls, which to some people may sound a very high sum, but anyhow, these scrolls are priceless, and we decided to buy them. Then, of course, there was the problem how to get the money. Up to that moment, I even didn't think of this problem because I didn't believe that the whole transaction will take place. Fortunately enough, the government of Israel was ready to guarantee a considerable part of the money as a loan. And after we finished the transaction, I approached the late Seth Gottesman, who died only 3 months ago. And he was immediately interested in the scrolls, and he contributed more than $150,000 for the purchasing of the scrolls. Then, of course, was the problem how to ship them. We were afraid to put all the scrolls in one plane. So we dispatched the scrolls to Jerusalem, each scroll in a different plane. And when they arrived safely in Jerusalem, of course, we were very happy about it. The acquisition of the scrolls in Israel created very much interest, and the government decided to build a special plan of the book in which all the seven scrolls will be put, both for show, and all the documents and literature and books relating to Dead Sea Scrolls will be in this book, and thus it will be possible for all the scholars of the world to come to Jerusalem and to study the actual scrolls themselves.
Those scrolls are now seen in the Shrine of the Book at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. They include two Isaiah scrolls, the Habakkuk Commentary, Thanksgiving Hymns, the Genesis Apocryphon, the Scroll of the Wars of the Sons of Light against the Sons of Darkness, and the Manual of Discipline, which was the apparent code of the community which was somehow connected to the scrolls. Over an 8-year period after the initial find, archaeologists focused their efforts on the northwest shore of the Dead Sea, excavating every cave they could find in the area. Father Roland DeVoe of the École Biblique explained why they also decided to excavate some nearby ruins, the place called Kirbet Qumran.
When we were clearing the first cave, we had a look at a ruined settlement about 10 minutes farther south, and we tried to see if there was any connection between that settlement and the cave. We found no one, but the thing was still bothering us, and 2 years later, in 51, we made soundings in that building, and we found pottery exactly the same as in the cave, with some coins, which gave us a first date in the first century AD.
In the ruins, they found remnants of what was described as a community of Essenes, who it is believed had some connection to the scrolls. Exactly what that connection is still being debated. Texts and text fragments were found in a total of 11 caves, numbering in the thousands, and representing about 800 documents in all. About 25% were actual biblical texts, and all the books of the Bible except Esther are represented. Excitement stirred up by these 2,000-year-old documents has not abated over the years. Pastor Faye Olson of the Carmel Lutheran Institute in Oslo described some of the early expectations of those scrolls for Professor Mansour.
It occurred to me that if an archaeological discovery in the reign of King Josiah in the 7th century B.C., made by the high priest Hilkiah could start a real spiritual reformation in Israel led by the king himself, why should not the scrolls, revealed by a goat at the very foundation of the Jewish state in our time, by the grace of God, promote a spiritual revival in Israel following her political restoration?
William Albright saw the value of the scrolls in a different light.
Hitherto, New Testament scholars have worked on the New Testament without any literature of comparable age with which to compare it, in fact. So, as a result, they were guessing. And the most so-called critical New Testament scholars placed the writing of the New Testament between about 50 A.D., 50 after Christ, and 150 A.D. It seems to me that the evidence is now completely against this point of view. We find that the Gospel of John and the Johannine Epistles, which most critical scholars have been dating in the 2nd century A.D., are actually extremely close in imagery, in language, and often in point of view to the Qumran scrolls, to the Essene literature, though the Gospel of John is Christian and not Jewish, and the Essene literature is Jewish and not Christian.
Before the Dead Sea Scrolls discovery, the oldest complete text of the Bible available was the Leningrad Codex, which dates to roughly A.D. 1000. Scholars such as James Vanderkam of Notre Dame University value access to these texts that are twice as old and date back to the threshold of the biblical period.
The scrolls show us that the biblical text that has come down to us over 2,000 years is incredibly faithfully preserved over that time, sometimes letter by letter by letter, word after word, chapter after chapter. On the other hand, secondly, not a contradiction but a complementary statement, the Dead Sea Scrolls also demonstrate a rich pluriformity in the text of the scriptures. Prior to the freezing of the text in the late first, or more likely early second century of our era. That is, the text existed in different forms up until, let's say, roughly 100, but somewhere in that period.
Peter Flint, director of the Dead Sea Scrolls Institute at Trinity Western University in Canada, says good Bible scholarship comes from understanding the scriptural context, and the Dead Sea Scrolls give us context like no other source.
The ideas of Jews, the teachings of Jews, their attitude to Scripture, their attitude to the Messiah, all of this has come since the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, this may sound rather dramatic. Well, I would answer simply by saying these are the oldest copies of the Scriptures and other writings that we have in the Jewish Christian tradition. Without the scrolls, you've got to go hundreds of years later. I think as Christians, we can be thankful that God has allowed us to live at this time, that we are able to see things that our ancestors had never seen because they were buried in the desert for 2,000 years.
This special report on the 50th anniversary of the Dead Sea Scrolls discovery was produced 24 years ago. Another gem from our archives as we look back on 40 years of the Book and the Spade, which we will officially celebrate in February 2023. You can access older programs through our website at radioscribe.com. We also have information on our quarterly Biblical Archaeology News magazine, Artifacts, including how to subscribe at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on Biblical Archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.